you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast. I'm JJ Stankovitz for NBC Sports Chicago and joined by Mark Schanowski. Mark, we're sitting outside. It's
a beautiful day.
Beautiful October day. Sun is out. The sun is shining. Mitch Trubisky is the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. How could it be any more perfect?
I think that's why the sun is shining over Halas Hall, although I guess we're supposed to get some rain tomorrow. But hopefully by Monday night it's all cleared up and the rookie's going to have a fast field to try to show what he can do, because we've heard so much how the offense is going to change with Trubisky under center. What we saw during the preseason was his ability to extend the play by getting out of pressure, his ability to throw accurately on the run, and those are qualities that the offense has not seen with Mike Glennon at quarterback. And the fans have been waiting to see this rookie ever since the draft when he was selected number two overall. I'm sure there's going to be some growing pains along the way, but the reality of it is Mitch Trubisky is the future of the franchise. I think with the team at 1-3 and where they are with their offense right now, it's a perfect time to throw him in and let him grow.
Yeah, that's a very good summation of kind of where the Bears are at right now with Mitchell Trubisky. You know, I think what's interesting, if we're kind of getting into what the offense is going to look like, it isn't going to be so drastically different with Trubisky in there instead of Mike Glennon. It's not like every single play Trubisky is going to be rolling out and moving the pocket. He's not going to be running a boot on every play. But the ability to do that is something, like you said, Mark, that Mike Glennon obviously couldn't do. And that, I believe, is going to open up some more holes for Jordan Howard. Because if you look at it, Green Bay, NFL's next-gen stats had Jordan Howard facing loaded boxes on 66.67% of his runs. So Every three runs Jordan Howard had against Green Bay came against a loaded box, and that is no recipe for a running back to have any success. And for the Bears offense to have success, it's got to start with Jordan Howard. So I think that's a big key, and that's something that I asked a couple players about today and on Thursday in the locker room, about just how that sort of frees up the box, having Trubisky able to roll out. And I think that's going to be an interesting thing going forward, where even if you only have him moving the pocket on, say, 10 to 12 plays a game, those 10 to 12 plays still put enough in the defense's mind that they can't just sell out and try to stop Jordan Howard.
And remember, Jordan Howard had two of his best games against the Vikings last year, so this is a really good opportunity for him to showcase his skills on Monday night. I believe it was something like 288 yards total rushing in the two games against Minnesota. And the Vikings are going to come in prepared to defend him, but they also have to worry about Trubisky's ability to get outside of contain and make plays with his feet. So, as you mentioned, talking to some of the guys in the locker room, you can see the buzz among the offensive players. I mean, no one wanted to say anything disparaging about Mike Glennon. They all
still
respect
him,
still a captain, good teammate, and all the rest of it. But they know that Trubisky brings an element to the offense that Glennon simply can't, because of the fact he doesn't have that mobility and he's not as accurate throwing the ball on the run. So I think when talking to Kyle Long, Zach Miller, they're excited to see what this kid can do. And, you know, we talked to Zach, and you could see the smile on his face when he was talking about, well, what kind of advice do you give him? He said, well, just get out there and then fling it. You know, he knows that Trubisky has a special arm, has special athletic skills, and this is something Bears Nation has been waiting for a long time, to have a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, that you can get excited about and kind of chart the progress of the franchise as you watch the young kid develop.
Well, I thought it was funny that Trubisky said on, what day was that, Tuesday, when he met with the media, that he kind of has a gunslinger mentality. And, you know, if you're a Bears fan who watched Jay Cutler be a little bit too much of a gunslinger at times, maybe you cringed at that, but the way Trubisky goes about it is different than Jay Cutler. He's a different quarterback than Jay Cutler, and I think that's something important to note, that, you know, the ability to kind of be mobile and move the pocket and take off and run, keep his eyes downfield, those are all things that Trubisky is better at than Jay Cutler was. And, you know, talking to Eddie Jackson, I just kind of asked him, like, what is a mobile, like, how does a mobile quarterback sort of disarm the secondary? And he said, you know, A, you have to cover longer, and B, you know, if he's rolling out, you can't just run right at him and try to bring him down, because that's when he's liable to pop one over your head and hit you for a big play. And kind of following that same line of questioning, I asked Tariq Cohen, you know, what can a broken play do for an offense? And, you know, sort of like that, that's where a lot of the big plays come from. We've seen it with Aaron Rodgers time and time and again, probably too many times if you're a Bears fan, where Rodgers gets outside the pocket, things kind of break down, and he makes a play. And I think that's what the Bears can envision Mitchell Trubisky doing against Minnesota and then going forward, is, you know, more big plays like that where, you know, maybe he breaks contain and all of a sudden is slinging it downfield to an open Marcus Wheaton. Maybe we'll see something like that, or, you know, dumping it off across the field to Tariq Cohen. Just these different aspects of the offense that we haven't seen under Mike Glennon, I think they're really exciting to sort of think about the prospect of them.
One of the things that really struck me was that, you know, coaches will always tell you don't make comparisons to other players in the league because it puts too much pressure on a young player. And yet we heard John Fox, we heard Dow Loggins, we heard guys in the locker room all invoke the name of Aaron Rodgers.
Said that quarterback up north, not directly Aaron Rodgers.
Who may be the very best quarterback in the entire National Football League. So not like they're putting too much pressure on the kid. Just be as good as number 12, and get out of the pocket, escape pressure, make throws on the run, run for first downs, heave the ball downfield. You know, they are building expectations for this kid, there's no question about it. But the thing that I think is exciting for some of the position players is that they know that because he can extend a play, it creates the opportunity for them to have an impact play. You know, Zach Miller, a guy who can get down the seam, now realizes that because he has better than average speed for a tight end, hey, maybe if Mitch gets out of the pocket, if I keep running my route, a 20-yard pass, maybe a 40-yard gain. And
Austin Hooper 2.0.
Right, and we talked to, you know, Tariq Cohen talking about the fact that he has to make sure to make himself available so that if Mitch breaks out of the pocket, maybe he can find a way to get out and extend his route and make a big play out of what might have been a dump-off with Mike Glennon. So there are all kinds of possibilities with this, but we have to caution the fans, too, that there are going to be growing pains as well. He's going to misread coverages. He may throw to the wrong receiver at times, and you're just going to have to understand that that's part of the evolution of a young quarterback. And I think that the fans are going to get excited about it. I just hope they don't expect too much right away.
I think you're absolutely right about that, where, you know, for as excited as we are about Mitchell Trubisky, the track record of quarterbacks making their first career start in the middle of a season is not super exciting. I think I ran the numbers a couple weeks ago, and among top 10 drafted quarterbacks in the last 20 years who made their first start in the middle of a season, Matt Leinart had the best quarterback rating, and that was like 72.
Yeah,
in his rookie
year.
That's anytime you're invoking Matt Leinart in a comparison with Mitchell Trubisky, it's not something you really want. But if you see signs of progress from, you know, I think it's great that Mitchell Trubisky's first start in his career is against the Vikings. He will end his season against the Minnesota Vikings December 31st in Minneapolis. I think that's a great gauge of his progress and what we see from week one to what we see to the end of the year. You're bookending it with the same opponent. How does he do at home? How does he do on the road? How does he do facing different defenses, different looks? It's all really interesting. I want to get into something with Trubisky, though. We talk so much about the pressure and the expectations for him and, you know, invoking Aaron Rodgers, and you never want to do that to a rookie quarterback, but I'm going to go ahead and say Mitchell Trubisky can handle it. He can handle the pressure. He can handle the expectations. Everything about him in his dealings with the media, talking to his teammates, talking to his coaches, I feel like you can't throw enough on this guy, because he will continue to meet the expectations and then exceed the expectations. So maybe he's not going to meet an Aaron Rodgers expectation year one, but he could down the road. And so far he's given us no reason to believe he can't handle the pressure. And I really liked his quote about that on Tuesday, where he said his high school quarterback's coach told him that pressure is what happens when you're not prepared for something. And he was basically like, I don't think that's going to happen to me because I feel pretty prepared for this. So whatever outside pressure there may be, I really see no reason why Mitchell Trubisky can't handle it.
Well, I'm sure he's going to be prepared from a mental standpoint. Obviously, he found out early in the week that he was going to be the starting quarterback, and they have the extra time with a Monday night game against the Vikings. What he's not going to be prepared for is those guys in purple coming at him 100 miles. Actually, they'll be wearing white on Monday night.
Purple helmets.
Yeah, coming at him 100 miles an hour with Mike Zimmer trying to throw defenses with blitzes coming at him from all different angles. And all the film study in the world really can't prepare you for what the National Football League is like when guys are in regular season mode, facing starters, going full speed. You know, I think there's going to be moments out there where he will be a little bit overwhelmed. And that's where the coaching staff has to be real careful about not throwing too much at him in the game plan, trying to emphasize the fact that they've had success against the Vikings in the past with Jordan Howard running the football. Go in there with a game plan that he can execute without too much stress, and then maybe along the way he just uses his athleticism to make some big plays. Don't put too much on the kid right away, because he is facing one of the best defenses in the NFL in the Minnesota Vikings, and that is going to be something that, as much as you prepare from a mental standpoint, once you're getting out there and under the bright lights, sometimes your mind can start racing a little
bit. This is totally different than facing the Tennessee Titans first team defense to start the second half, or, you know, backups and third stringers and guys who aren't even on rosters now. You're absolutely right. And the Vikings will have a lot of time as well to game plan for Trubisky. And, you know, the Bears are going to run a basic offense. It's going to involve boots. It's going to involve moving the pocket, but it's going to be basic. And, you know, Mike Zimmer, one of the best defensive minds in the NFL, he'll dial up some stuff that Trubisky won't have seen. He'll disguise blitzes. And, you know, I think something that is going to be interesting to see how Trubisky deals with is how he identifies where the pressure is coming from and how he kind of calls out and identifies what protections he needs to call out. And that's something that, you know, you go back to, I go back to what Ben Roethlisberger said on a conference call with the Chicago media back in September, where he said even in year two and year three, he was getting looks that he hadn't seen before. And as a rookie, you know, you just got to keep it basic, trust your instincts, trust your knowledge, and kind of know, yeah, there are going to be some bumps in the road, but if your arrow is pointing up, to kind of use a phrase that the Bears like to use, you know, if your arrow still is pointing up, even with a couple dips here and there, then I think you're still on a good path. You can stay confident within that offense.
One of the things that was interesting during the open locker room period today, we got a chance to talk to both Tariq Cohen and Eddie Jackson, and Ryan Pace's draft class was very small because of the extra draft picks they had to trade away to move up one spot for Mitch Trubisky. And you were wondering, what kind of impact would they get from that draft class? Well, Eddie Jackson has started from week one. Tariq Cohen's been an impact player on offense from week one. We've seen bits and pieces of Adam Shaheen, and I think his role is going to grow as we go along. And now Mitchell Trubisky is the starter. So even though there's not a lot of names in that rookie class, they're making an impact. And I think with what Ryan Pace did a year ago with a draft class that was pretty productive, you can see the foundation starting to take place for this Bears team. And, you know, even though some fans are thinking, you know, we've waited long enough, we should start seeing the fruits of some of this rebuilding that's gone on over the last few years, there's been a lot of changes at Halas Hall, you know, going from the Lovie Smith era till now, that I think we're finally starting to see what GMs always talk about, stacking one draft class on top of another. And that's when you finally start making progress as a football organization. And hopefully with Trubisky now as the starter, as fans go to Soldier Field to watch games or watch on TV, they're going to see those building blocks in place and see that even though it's still Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, it may not be that far along before the Bears can contend with the other teams in the division and hopefully other teams around the NFL.
And that's another thing that, you know, if we're looking at measuring sticks, excuse me, the Green Bay in November is going to be a measuring stick game for the Bears. How poorly they played in Mike Glennon's final start. If they show significant improvement in that game in November, and, you know, maybe they win it, maybe they don't, maybe they're at least just competitive in that game, that is going to show ownership. It's going to show the front office that not only is Trubisky and the offense, they've made progress, but that the coaching staff has made progress, because that's what they need to see. Right now, the progress doesn't look like it's there, because you have these two direct losses on the road to Tampa a year after an ugly loss where the loss wasn't much better this year, and now Green Bay another year after a loss where this loss wasn't better. It was in fact worse. That you have to show some progress this season for this coaching staff to have a good shot of keeping their jobs. This goes beyond Trubisky in terms of the future of the franchise. And right now, the, you know, John Fox and Dal Loggins and these guys are tied to the progress the offense makes mostly under Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, the NFL, it stands for not for long. So, yeah. You know, the coaches, players, everybody has to worry about their job security. And it's nice to see that some young foundation pieces are getting in place. This is the Under Center podcast. Mark Schanowski, J.J. Stankovic. Let's talk about Minnesota's situation for a while. I mean, everyone's talking about the Bears. They're getting a little bit healthier, which is good. And Minnesota doesn't know who their starting quarterback will be Monday night. Yeah. Sam Bradford returned to practice on Thursday. We don't know exactly how much he was able to do. He was very good in the first game, but then he got hurt and he's been out. And Case Keenum had one good game and two bad ones. Obviously, if Keenum's in there, that really plays to the Bears' advantage.
It does. And, you know, Case Keenum against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he put up these great numbers. But I'm a big fan of the Ringers NFL podcast, and I was listening to that. And they were talking about how in that game it wasn't so much that Keenum was being accurate and precise and making all these great throws. He just kind of threw it in the right spot. And Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen went up and made the catches.
Yeah, good receivers.
It wasn't like Case Keenum played like this incredible game there. And, I mean, look, Case Keenum's the guy who was dumped for Jared Goff last year when the Los Angeles Rams
were struggling. Got to know him a little bit in Hard Knocks
from
2 summers ago.
Yeah, it's much better for the Bears if Case Keenum is starting. That being said, though, Dalvin Cook is now, you know, out for the year with a torn ACL, a guy who looked like he was off to a really promising start to his career. Jerick McKinnon's banged up in the backfield. All of a sudden, you look at the Vikings and you see this banged up offense that still has some playmakers around, you know, in Diggs and Thielen. But I don't know. I feel like this is a good opportunity for a Bears defense that's really looked solid, even in spite of these, you know, the two rough road losses. It wasn't like they played poorly in either of those games. I think this is a good opportunity for the Bears defense to step up and kind of hold Minnesota at bay for the offense and give the offense a chance to win.
Yeah, you really have to wonder if the Vikings will be able to run the football at all in this game. Obviously, Dalvin Cook, as you mentioned, lost for the season. Latavius Murray, the former Raider, now steps in as the number one running back, and they had to sign Stephen Ridley off the street to be a backup because, as you mentioned, Jerick McKinnon is injured as well. So the Bears have shown the ability to shut down the opposing team's running game, kind of make them one-dimensional. And if it is Keenum, you hope that maybe they can get their hands on some footballs and force some turnovers, give the offense some good field position.
Still no interceptions for the secondary.
Drives. Yeah. Yeah, that's something that's got to change. Yeah, we talked to Eddie Jackson today, and he was talking about the fact that, obviously, that's something that's been on his mind. He was a playmaker on defense at Alabama. He wanted to bring those same talents here to the Bears. But, you know, any defense is trying to make the other opposing offense one-dimensional, and that should be something that's possible Monday night. As you mentioned, it could be the perfect storm for the Bears to show that from one national televised game to the next that they're a completely different looking team.
Yeah, and you know, I think just adding Trubisky, going back to that, it's injected some like hope into this team. You know, I talked about it with David Kaplan on Sports Talk Live the other day about just kind of how dour the Bears locker room was after the Packers game, where, you know, it was quiet. And, you know, even after, it was a difference from the Tampa game, where everyone after the Tampa game was kind of like, you know what, we still think we got everything in place. You know, Willie Young was talking about, we got everything we need here, we can turn this around. And after the Green Bay game, it was kind of all about, we got to make some changes. And, you know, I think that just adding Trubisky gives them some hope. And it's not just the offense, it's the defense too. John Moon Mullen wrote a great thing on NBC Sports Chicago about how the defense views Trubisky. And they called him, Leonard Floyd called him the Pretty Boy Assassin, which is a pretty...
That's a good nickname. He's got a lot of them already.
As Moon pointed out, defensive players think all quarterbacks are pretty boys. but, you know, that just the hope of the defense now is like, maybe you don't turn the ball over as much. Maybe there are fewer sudden change opportunities. You know, there fewer needs for sudden change defense. Or there may be cleaner special teams play just kind of emanates from Trubisky.
They are kind of pressing the reset button. I think we'll see a more inspired defense coming out on Monday night. I think the fact that the Bears offensive line will finally be together for 2 weeks in a row is going to help because, you know, they've been moving guys around. Guys have been in and out of the lineup. I think now that you've got that interior that everyone was talking about with Cody Whitehair at center, flanked by Josh Sitton and Kyle Long, you've got a strength there. You got Charles Leno at left tackle, Bobby Messi at right, and hopefully that can be more of a strength going forward, and they can establish Jordan Howard in the running game, because the reality was, in three of the four games, they got behind and had to kind of abandon the power running game, which is supposed to be their identity. Hopefully in this game coming up on Monday night and going forward, they can get out to a lead and use Jordan Howard the way they used him a year ago.
I want to go back to something you said. You just kind of brought up the Bears are 1-3. With all the attention paid to Mitchell Trubisky, you kind of forget the Bears are 1-3 right now.
Yeah, I know.
That's why he's in there.
Yeah, because they're 1-3.
That's a great thing. You know, we haven't gone into the locker room this week and grilled these guys about essentially the question in more words than this, but why do you suck? We're not asking them that question right now. It's all about what can Trubisky bring, how much, you know, the hope of Trubisky, and I think that's, you can sense that from the locker room, you know, that they want to talk about that. They want to talk about how they can go out and beat the Vikings with Mitchell Trubisky as their quarterback, and it's less about that this team is off to a bad start to the season. It's more about the hope that they have going forward, and I think that's a really important point for this team, at least going into the Minnesota game, is that they have a lot more hope than they certainly did a week ago.
I don't think there's any question about it. And as you mentioned, the questions would be completely different if Mike Lennon was still the starting quarterback. People would be saying, well, the offense can't get out of its own way. You're turning the ball over too much. How can you possibly win a game when you're turning the ball over at that rate? Now, they do get to hit the reset button and almost get a do-over. It won't change the record. It won't change the three losses that are already on there. But just attitude can play a big part in sports at any level. Maybe not as much in professional sports as it does in high school or college, but I think just the fact these guys have a fresh outlook, almost get a new start, I think the offense is going to look different. Dow Loggins seemed reinvigorated when we
even
talked
with,
to him.
Even though he had a cold.
Yeah.
Reinvigorated, but with a cold.
He did say that they're going to throw things at Mitch, you know, a little bit slowly, that the first week he may not have as many things asked for him to do as he will as the season goes forward. But I think that Loggins understands he has more options than he did with Mike Lennon. Even though no one wants to criticize Mike Lennon, he is who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy who's 6'6", who's going to be immobile in the pocket, and unfortunately was throwing too many checkdown passes. Now you've got a young guy who doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So he may be willing to take those shots down the field where Glennon as a veteran may have been reluctant to do so.
Okay, Mark, I want to end this podcast with something a little bit different. So you cover the Bulls quite a bit.
That's right.
They're going through a rebuild. I've covered the White Sox a little bit, another team that's going
rebuild,
through a rebuild.
Yeah.
So where the Bears are right now in their rebuild, currently, and you can speak on this to the Bulls, but it reminds me more of the White Sox in terms of just the hope of things right now. Like the White Sox, when they called up Moncada, is sort of where I almost feel like this Bears team is right now in terms of just like the hope and the vibe of the locker room. And we saw the White Sox, even though they ended the season, you know, with the fourth worst record in baseball, but just like that vibe around the team got so good as the season went on, even with these young guys, even as they were losing. And I just wonder, how do you compare what the Bears are going through right now and the vibe in that locker room to what you've sort of got with the Bulls so far in the early stages of their preseason?
Yeah, there are some similarities in the fact that the Bears have been able to acquire some guys at skill positions that are potentially going to be impact players going forward. You know, talking about Mitch and Cohen and maybe even Shaheen, where you're thinking that these guys could be part of something special as the team continues to develop. The White Sox, of course, most of their guys are still in the minor leagues, so we don't know exactly what they're going to be when they get to the big leagues, but you look at all those talented pitchers that they have, and you're thinking when those guys come to the big leagues, they're going to have a rotation that no one's really going to want to face, and they also have a lot of young position players that are exciting. I don't think the Bears have that much young talent in place yet.
Right.
I think Ryan Pace still needs another draft or two to fortify this roster. You know, the thing is in the NFL, we see so many times where teams make that worst to first turnaround, and you're wondering what it's going to take for that to happen with the Bears. I think they have to do a better job in free agency of identifying needs and being able to get those elite players. You know, they did try to get a couple of elite corners at the start of free agency, and those guys chose to go elsewhere, so they had to kind of move down their
secondary's
their
been
list.
Fine so far, though.
It's been okay, but, you know, they've got to find at least two wide receivers who can scare defenses a little bit. The offensive line, I think, is okay, but they need some depth there. It's an organization that's growing, but it isn't there yet.
Okay.
And you asked about the Bulls.
Yeah. That's what I was going to get to. Like, if we're ranking where the Chicago teams are in their rebuild, White Sox are ahead in first, Bears are second, Bulls in third. Is that fair?
I think that's fair just because the Bulls have just begun this process.
Right.
I think the Bears, ever since Ryan Pace came in, it really was about weeding out some of the older players, mm-hmm. bringing in young guys, letting Ryan Pace's vision kind of show through as the roster is being developed. With the Bulls, again, they're just beginning the rebuild. And the key guy they got in the Jimmy Butler trade, Zach LaVine, is still finishing his rehab from an ACL surgery. Until Zach LaVine takes the court, Bulls fans are going to be wondering, well, what do we have to look for? But I would point out that LaVine was really emerging as a top 50 player in the NBA mm-hmm. last year before he got hurt. He was able to shoot close to 40% from three-point range, averaging close to 19 points a game. He was voted by NBA general managers in their annual survey as the third most athletic player in the league, which is pretty incredible when you consider the fact he's coming off an ACL surgery. Zach LaVine is going to be a really good player. The first pick they got, Lauri Markkanen, mm-hmm. who's a seven-footer who can shoot the three ball with great accuracy. He's going to be a foundation piece. So in the NBA, you only need, you know, 3 to 5 players to really...
A little bit fewer than the NFL.
So if you those two guys are foundation pieces, then you're okay. But right now I would say the White Sox, I think people are most excited about. Yeah. The Bears with Mitch Trubisky are probably right there mm-hmm. as well. And the Bulls have some work to do. But they do have some foundation pieces that are in place.
So a little bonus coverage some other teams, Bulls and White Sox, here on the Bears, the Under Center podcast, where we cover the Bears. That's good stuff, though. That's... I'm sure we will have plenty more about Mitchell Trubisky. Remember, you can watch Bears pre- and post-game live before and after the Bears-Vikings game on Monday night. And there'll be another podcast after the game Monday from Lawrence Holmes and the guys on set from Bears post-game live. And that's always a great listen. I love Alex Brown's perspective. I love Jim Miller's perspective on that. That's always a great listen after the game.
And let me plug the Bulls Talk podcast that we have on a weekly basis. That's with myself and Kendall Gill and mm-hmm. Vincent Goodwill. A lot of spirited debate about what's mm-hmm. going on and how the rebuild is starting. And as I mentioned, it's a little bit bumpy, especially after a 47-point loss in Dallas. But you got to give some of the young guys some time. We haven't seen Lauri Markkanen yet, and I think when Zach LaVine returns, this team will have a whole different look. But for now, it's Mitch Trubisky time, Mitchapalooza, and we're looking forward to Monday night.
Does Zach LaVine wear number 10 on the Bulls?
Number 8.
He's got to be number 10. You got Moncada wearing number 10, Trubisky number 10, LaVine
10,
be number 10.
10 is retired for the Bulls, unfortunately, for Bob Love, so there won't be a 10.
It's like you cover the Bulls or something and actually know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they have a few retired now.
All right, we're going to end it here. This has been the Under Center podcast on NBCSportsChicago.com. For Mark Schanowski, I'm JJ Stankovitz. Thanks for listening.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.